the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. And ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful. Did I say peaceful? Yes, you bureaucrats and professional do-gooders that think we're violent. I said peaceful, and we mean it. Absolutely, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're not the greatest country on the face of the earth over racial or any other divide ideas. We are the greatest country on the face of the earth because we acknowledge God Almighty above government. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. And we don't, you know what, dive into the keys to theology to divide on religion. We just simply say there's a greater source of power than God, than government. It is God. And we believe that if we keep the commandments of God, as promised biblically, he will heal our land and he will protect us. So let's start to turn to God. Let's realize we're all the children of God, and let's start to act like it. And if we peacefully work together, oh boy, the wonderful things we can accomplish, huh? It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. So I got Thursday's recap, and then we'll launch into the news the networks refuse to use. As you know, we are live 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we rest. LibertyRoundTable.com, LovingLiberty.net, spread the word, would you please? Yesterday, we had our guest on, Mr. Eldon Stahl, and he's the field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, TheNewAmerican.com. And we also had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Over the past 50 years, RustCoinAndGift.com has helped people understand and purchase in a safe way precious metals, encouraging people to take delivery of their metals, I might add. RustCoinAndGift.com, spread the word. We had an Honest Money Report gold and silver update. Yesterday, gold was at $1,791, silver at $27. 25. Now, it's interesting. Silver spot is at $27.25, but to get a modern, or I should say a 2021 silver eagle silver dollar that says $1 on it from the United States Mint Treasury costs $39 right now. Isn't that interesting? 39 paper dollars to one silver eagle silver dollar. Somebody ought to be sued over that. Will the real dollar, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? The fake paper one or the real silver one? The government prints the dollar through the Federal Reserve. Yeah, no, it's not part of government, folks. Banking, private cartel. But anyway, we allow them to print a dollar, and then we mint a dollar at the Treasury, and we put them both out and say they're both a dollar, except it takes 39 paper ones to buy one silver one, right? So I'm saying, is the government peddling fake news? And who's going to be arrested over that dishonest lie? Which one's the real dollar? Will the real dollar please stand up? That's why every week with Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, we have the Honest Money Report. Let's just be honest. A silver eagle, silver dollar is a real dollar. The fake dollars, which we've been using for decades, have continued to devalue to the point where now it takes 39 of them to buy $1. Isn't that a shame? Governor Spencer Cox, good news, signs into law allowing concealed carry in the state of Utah without a permit or a license or whatever you want to call it. So now Utah becomes the 17th constitutional carry state. Amen. Good work, people. Thank you. We do win once in a while. That's correct. Once in a while, we do win when good Americans stand together for the sacred cause of liberty. Rush Limbaugh dies at age 70 following a year-long battle with lung cancer. Sad day for Rush and his family. Sad day for America. Was Rush a perfect talk show host? No, I think he should have been a little more hard-hitting in the news. He openly admitted that at one point he was the water boy for the Republican Party. That's of concern. But you know what? He started out as a tremendous talk show host, tremendous talent. And the older he got, the more he came back to his roots. And he did talk about, in his last days on this earth, God, family, and country, and good for Rush for doing it. We also talked about Black History Month, also known as African American History Month. It's an annual celebration of achievements by Black Americans and their central role and contributions to history. Now, I don't have any problem with celebrating Black History Month, although I think we ought to celebrate everybody's culture, you know, Black people, Mexican people. Asian people, I don't care what ethnicity you are. I think we all ought to celebrate it and learn about it and eat the foods of and learn about the traditions of, and that's all good. My problem is when they turn it into propaganda month, right? Like telling you that I have a collar around my neck and act like a slave so that I can know what it's like, or do some type of retributions, or sometimes I have to supposedly pay back money, reparations, and all this kind of, it's bogus. Why continue to further divide? Why not stand together tall as the American people and celebrate everybody's culture, everybody's heritage, and have respect for one another? Interestingly enough, while it's Black History Month and my rejection of the divide that continues in America over this month, we ought to celebrate and unite and work together as, in a civility idea. We ought to be civil to one another. It's also Random Act of Kindness Day. 2 days ago on February 17th, 2021, Random Act of Kindness Day. I don't know if you know, but it's also February's Random Act of Kindness Month and National Kindness Month. Planned Acts of Kindness. So if you put Black History Month and Kindness Month together, we wouldn't run around and blame white people. We wouldn't run around and, you know, all we'd do is simply say, you know what, there's some bad history that we never want to repeat. Let's work together, ladies and gentlemen, going forward as the American people. We're all God's children. Let's behave like it. Treat one another kindly. World Kindness Day, believe it or not, is a day also. It was started in 1998 by the World Kindness Movement. Believe it or not, it's November 13th, where people all around the world celebrate that day. So all I'm telling you is kindness is a good thing. But if you look at Black History Month and Kindness Month together, we might actually look forward with faith as the American people and stand shoulder to shoulder. And make America a better place, and then do our very best to export those ideas of Christianity and God's over government and freedom of speech and the importance of with rights come responsibility and self-governance and everything else. We could educate the world about that, and then we could make all these other countries. Yeah, we could make all these other countries great, too. And then it might be hard for us to say we're the greatest country on the planet. We'd have a battle for whoever is the greatest, not greatest by supremacy, but greatest by serving God Almighty and reaping the incredible blessings to be had when one does such a thing, right? Now, I love it. All right, second hour, we talked about Biden to Congress. He's enacting major restrictions on constitutionally protected Second Amendment rights. Today, I'm calling on Congress to enact common sense gun law reforms, including requiring background checks on all gun sales, banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, and eliminating immunity for gun manufacturers. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Biden's off the rails. There's a book out called Death by Gun Control, The Human Cost of Victim Disarmament. Aaron S. Zellman wrote the book, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, is who wrote that book. Incredible book. Highlights reality around the world. Whenever the people are disarmed, it is disaster. Did I say disaster? Well, I should say it again. It's disaster, folks. Joe Biden is coming for your guns. Chuck Baldwin. Incredible column written by Chuck Baldwin at ChuckBaldwinLive.com. It's also up on LibertyRoundtable.com now. Joe Biden is coming for your guns. And he lays out 20 things Joe Biden's trying to do to violate your right to keep and bear arms. And he says, in the year of 2021, turn off your boob tube, get engaged, because you better defend your gun rights now or you are going to lose them, is the point of Chuck Baldwin's incredible column. We talked about that in great detail. Leftists in power, what can constitutionalists do now? An incredible article in thenewamerican.com, by the way. Reject the con and term limits. Embrace nullification / interposition / anti-commandeering. Amen. Restore election integrity. Concentrate on the House of Representatives. Organize for liberty, the proper value of proper education and relevant organized action. We talked about that with Eldon Stahl in great detail, and that rounds out both hours of yesterday's broadcast. The summary always on tap the next day to make it easy for you to go back and look at the show notes, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. It allows you to be reminded of something you want to spread the word to your neighbor and tell them about. It also gives you an opportunity when you see the show notes. Remember, the show notes are generally in order of what we talk about, right? So if you see something in the second hour, don't listen to the first hour, right? If you see something at the bottom of the first hour notes at the end, it's probably not at the start of the program. Got it? So the idea is you use the notes to kind of generally hone in on the topic of interest. And that way, ladies and gentlemen, we help you pick the topics that you want and listen to the relevant audio. If you're too busy to listen to both hours every single day, you know, that's 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, a lot of radio, right? This allows you, my fellow Americans, to select what you want to listen to. Yeah, that's how we roll on this radio broadcast, man. Hard hitting, direct. We have an agenda. We don't play games like we don't. Our agenda is God, family, and country. Our agenda is to protect life, liberty, and property. Does it get better than that? I think not. The one and only Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Live and on your radio, always talking about the sacred cause of liberty. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to the broadcast, my friend.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be with you.
There's so much to talk about. Ron Paul responds to reports that President Joe Biden, I really cringe to call him president, by the way, might restrict interstate travel. I guess the idea would be because of the cocoa. Is that the idea, Lowell?
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, you know, Sam, over the commercial break, I read and reread, I read for the first time because you mentioned it in the summary of yesterday's show, Chuck Baldwin's great article about, you know, Biden's coming for your guns. And smack in the middle of the article, he writes this: You know, you say it can't happen here, really? He asked. This time last year, you would have said that government agencies closing churches, shuttering businesses, mandating forced isolations of healthy people, restricting travel, dictating personal health care, forcing elderly people to suffer and die alone and away from their families, being treated no better than convicted felons serving life sentences in maximum security prisons, could not happen here either. I mean, that's, but it did happen here, he says. I mean, and so you look at what we have allowed to happen.
Not only did it happen here, Lowell, but it happened in the flash of an eye. I mean, boom! Yeah. It didn't just slowly come on us. It was like instant, too. Let's make very clear that point. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and so I love the sentiment here. We have to oppose these things, and you know that's what you know Ron Paul is saying we need to do if Biden thinks he wants to restrict interstate travel, and that would be the most tyrannical thing that a president has done in American history, right? I mean, for the president, what's he going to do to restrict travel? Is he going to militarize state lines? Is he going to send in the troops and have them, you know, deploy and to disallow, you know, citizens to travel into and from Florida? Is he going to go that far? I mean, what does he have in mind, right? Is he going to ask U.S. troops to keep, you know, people from Texas from vacationing at Disney World? I mean, this is ludicrous. This is bizarre. But just think of what, you know, a year ago, we would have thought it bizarre that you know, people would have, you know, have to stay at home and die in solitude, away from their families. We would have thought it weird that we would have to wear a mask around the country to freely go about the country, have to wear a mask and or, you know, get a shot or something like that. It's just unthinkable. And here we stand on the cusp of another year, 2021, right? So what are we going to do this year to make sure that we don't lose any more liberty? Well, you know, Ron Paul does what you do, Sam, and that he speaks out. You know, he sees government doing something, and he speaks up. He stands up and he speaks out so that the people around him know what's happening, and they see his courage. They see your courage in the way you speak out, and that means that enables it, empowers them to do something, to themselves stand up and speak out. And so I love that about Liberty Roundtable and about Ron Paul. He says restrictions on interstate travel would be ineffective in stopping the spread of coronavirus. Even the World Health Organization has admitted lockdowns do not stop the spread of the COVID. However, lockdowns are effective at increasing rates of depression, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and suicide. And so, you know,
hey, Lowell,
that
maybe that's their goal.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to ask the question, you know,
I mean, I don't mean to be rude. I'm just saying if they continue to persist in this and we know and have more and more and more mounting evidence that are the results, that doesn't sound right. Those are the results. Then you know what? Why persist? Why triple down? Why not stop and go, you know what? We're learning about this thing. Early on, we really wanted to be careful. We thought it was the answer. We now realize there's a better way forward. If you're honorable, that's what you would do. You would correct course and say, you know what? There's a better way. We're going to embrace it. I know you can look at us and say, well, we were wrong and whatever. We're not interested in debating this. We're interested in doing the right thing at the right time for everybody. And okay, but they're tripling down on this dumb science that's not scientific at all, that lies to people. And they need to jettison that narrative immediately. And the sooner the better. And the longer they hold on to it, the less credibility they have. It's amazing how they just insist they're going to lose because the truth comes out, Lowell.
Yeah. And a lot of it comes out because of alternative media sites just like this one, Sam, because of your show and shows like yours, the truth is coming out. You know, and I look at DeSantis, what he's doing as the Florida governor. I mean, he's actually, you know, saying, you know, we're going to be free down here in Florida. I mean, I'm not sure if that's what he's saying, but he's probably more free than a lot of the states.
Yeah, that is the summary, though. He is standing up. He even says, Joe Biden thinks I'm going to roll over. Not going to happen. And you know what? I commend Ron DeSantis for that statement. You know what? Good for him. It's not him. He needs the support from the people, though. But he's trending in the right direction. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And so we citizens, we have to support public officials, public servants who will stand up and speak out against the untruths that are being spun by the corporate media and by politicians and, you know, the subservient, slave owner type, you know, masters that seek power over us. You know, we have to let our elected legislators, our county sheriff, our county clerks, they need to know how we feel. And so I know pretty much, you know, we're speaking to a pretty politically active audience here. I assume we are. And, you know, they need to know you by name. They need to know how you feel about stuff. You know, I'm in contact with my legislator a lot during the legislative session, and I hope that you are too, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Ron Paul ends his column down here. He talks about the statistics that show which the states that have enacted mandatory lockdowns have higher rates of coronavirus infection than states whose governors have not forced businesses to close and people to shelter in place. One of the states that has not experienced a massive coronavirus outbreak despite not locking down is Florida. He actually mentions the state of Florida, and for good reason. It's the state most likely to be targeted by any federal order restricting interstate travel. And the interesting thing about that, Sam, is that Florida contains probably more older people per capita than most other states. Maybe not as many as New York, but Florida is one of the places that old people go to retire, live out their golden years, basically. And so if there's any state that's most susceptible, right, to the coronavirus and to dying from it, it would be Florida, because they have so many older people there. And what are they doing? They are standing up. They're saying, you know, we're not going to hunker down and huddle up and die. You know, we're going to be free. If we die in freedom, so be it. I mean, that death is part of life. So let's just, you know, get on with it. So I really love the attitude that he's taking there in Florida. And I don't know what Biden is thinking when he is threatening to restrict interstate travel to and from Florida. But Lord, by golly, we need to stand up against this and speak out against any type of restriction on travel. I mean, it just reminds me of, like, Department of Homeland Security, comrade. You know, let's see your papers, please. Well, that's what it reminds me of. Nazi Germany, when they had to have papers in order to move, you know, about their country, Sam. And, you know, we say it can't happen here. Chuck Baldwin asked, you know, can it happen here? Well, it has happened here. Just look at 2020. We can't let this go any further in 2021, Sam.
And that makes the point that Chuck Baldwin was saying is, listen, in 2021, ladies and gentlemen, you better double down, turn off the boob to and defend your Second Amendment rights, or you are going to lose them. They're coming, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it's like, you know, hey, the quarterback is under attack, so to speak. They're on a blitz. They're going to try and take the Second Amendment out if they can, and we've got to jettison that narrative. Ron Paul finishes and says, if President Biden, I hate to call him president, if Joe were to issue such an order, it would be the most tyrannical act of any president ever. This would further damage the economy and seriously hurt the American people. Amen to that reality check. Jacob Hornberger doubles down, though, and illustrates kind of what they're doing to all of us, too, in an effort to shut us down, whether it be travel restrictions, whether it be stay-at-home orders. I don't know what, you know, order would be next or what latest assault. None of these come from legislative bodies. They come from bureaucrats, executives on high, governors, the president, etc. And the anti-terrorism screws tighten on the American people, says Jacob Hornberger. And this is really what's happening. Anytime you defy anything they say, then they want to act like you're somehow the new terrorist, a domestic threat. And the anti-terrorism label becomes the order of the day. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, comments on that in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Republican South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster signed a bill into law on Thursday banning most abortions in the state. The South Carolina House passed the bill by a 79-35 vote on Wednesday and gave final approval in a second vote on Thursday. Planned Parenthood filed a lawsuit in response, effectively delaying the measure from going into effect immediately. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told CNBC Thursday that President Biden will probably phase in his proposed tax increases slowly over time. Yellen said that the tax hikes would likely come as part of a larger package of legislation sometime in 2021.
That's unconfirmed.
NASA's science rover Perseverance, the most advanced astrobiology laboratory ever sent to another world, streaked through the Martian atmosphere on Thursday and landed safely on the floor of a vast crater. USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money, whether it's just for you or for an entire family. MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Experts at AccuWeather have been estimating the economic losses from the winter storms across the country. USA Radio News John Clemens has more.
That economic impact has been exacerbated by the lingering pandemic, coupled with record cold readings that have pushed all the way to the Gulf Coast. Jonathan Porter of AccuWeather tells us the economic loss is at $50 billion.
Impacts to property damage, which has been quite substantial, from frozen pipes and a variety of other impacts. Food spoilage, wage losses, travel impacts, damage to infrastructure, increased heating and oil costs due to supply shortages, as well as issues with supply chain and transportation of product. Very serious disaster on top of others.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
NASCAR has a road course Sunday. The O'Reilly Auto Parts 253 at Daytona starts at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox and MRN. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always when you're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word and tell your neighbor. By the way, LovingLiberty.net has Android and iPhone apps to download. They're free, and it lets you listen to live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Pretty delightful. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with me riding shotgun on your radio today. And the anti-terrorism screws tighten on the American people. Jacob Hornberger writes this incredible column. Really, they're basically anything they don't like, anything where you have a different view, a different opinion, a different, you know, idea than they do, and now they're basically saying you're a domestic threat, you're literally a terrorist, lol. Even to the Christian leaders that aren't even very political, they're saying that.
Yes, they are. You know, Hornberger has been a long-time critic of U.S. administration, particularly the executives, because, you know, and all the agencies that take away your freedoms and that demand compliance with their policies and so forth. So in his article here, posted at ronpaulinstitute.org, he traces the events of history that led to the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. And that name is a chilling name because it mentions homeland. When I was a kid growing up, Sam, you know, and I'd hear about Germany, and you know, that's kind of the Nazi Germany. They had a fatherland, they had a homeland, basically. You know, and the Nazis would make the people swear obedience, you know, to the homeland or the fatherland. And when this department was created back in 2001 or two, it's been about 20 years, that was the feeling that I had. What in the world do they have planned for us here in America? Are they going to do here what they did in Nazi Germany? And I'm straying from the article. This is not what Hornberger wrote, but I'm just thinking
BTW?
How loud, Sam.
BTW, yeah. Lol. It was done by the Republicans, let's be clear.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And wasn't there an actress, it was the actress that starred in the Disney Plus movie called Lanorium or Vanorium or something. What was her name? Corona? Anyway, they booted her because she likened, she looked at the similarities between what we're doing here now in America about the hate that's dividing us and the hate that divided Germany in the destruction that fell upon the Jews because of that division. Hitler got people in Germany to hate the Jews who lived in Germany for almost no reason at all. And look what happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany, right? They were slaughtered by the millions. And what are we doing here in America to do the very same thing? We're dividing, we're letting ourselves be divided by hate. A domestic terrorist, we're being called domestic terrorists. And so we're going to get a lot of people hating one another here in America. It's just that it's going to be easy for, the forces of evil to tear us apart and to, slaughter us as well if we continue to hate. And so,
I think, my friend, you are engaging in incitement.
Yeah, that may well be. But anyway, I guess we need to get back to Hornberger's article. But yeah, that's what we're going up against here. Anyway, he says during the Cold War, over four decades long, mind you, the U.S. administration drove us because of our fear of the Reds. When I grew up, that was the big fear, the Cold War, with fear that the Soviets were going to, launch a nuclear missile and we're going to have mutually assured destruction. We're going to blow the planet apart. That was the fear that led the policies, that drove the policies of the U.S. administration back in the, 50s, 60s, and 70s when I was growing up. And as John Adams said, paraphrasing, fear is the foundation of every tyrannical government, of every government at all, probably. Fear is its foundation. Well, without the Reds, when that fell apart in 1989, when the wall came down, right, the U.S. needed a new boogeyman. And that's where I love Hornberger's article where he's talking about the boogeyman, because the government needs a boogeyman out there, a bad guy, in order to generate the fear to drive us away from our freedoms. And so the U.S. administration, they intervened in the Middle East to stir up a new boogeyman. They invented this new boogeyman, and they called it what? They called it terrorism, right? Terrorists. We need to be afraid of the Islamic terrorists. Just one paragraph. I have to quote this one paragraph, Sam. He says, and this is, again, quoting Hornberger in his article from RonPaulInstitute.org. He says this: they intervened in the Persian Gulf War against their old partner and ally, Iraqi President Saddam Hussein, killing countless Iraqis in the process. They intentionally destroyed Iraq's water and sewage treatment facilities, knowing that this would help spread illnesses within the Iraqi populace. They imposed one of the most brutal sanctions regimes in history and enforced them for 11 years. In 1996, U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Madeleine Albright, publicly declared that the death of 500,000 Iraqi children from the sanctions were worth it. They stationed U.S. troops near Islamic holy lands, knowing full well what the reaction would be among devout Muslims. They provided unconditional support to the Israeli government. End of quote. And so that's what they did to stir trouble up in the Middle East. And the result was very predictable, Sam. This was all by design. It was the blowback. the blowback, meaning the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center, the terrorist attacks on the USS Cole and on the U.S. embassies in East Africa, and then came 9/11, which was an inside job, which heightened our fear of terrorism and helped to justify the U.S. war against terrorism. So anyway, that's,
now all you got to do is toss in a little cocoa, toss in a little global warming, and voila, you can take it domestic, my friend.
That's right. So what do we have now? We have this perpetual war on terrorism right alongside the perpetual war on drugs, the perpetual war on poverty. You know, I think there's some 17 declared wars right now. The U.S. Presidents have declared war on, you know, the war on income inequality, for example. All of these wars. And so, ladies and gentlemen,
I'm declaring a war.
Hey, are you?
On lies.
A war on lies, yes. Well, it'd be good on you, Sam, for doing that. But that's how we got the Department of Homeland Security here in the United States. Its job is supposedly to protect us from terrorists, and but now they're pointing the guns inward. They're going to protect us against domestic terrorists, Sam, about people that incite insurrection, people who speak out, you know, speak up for liberty, speak up for the Constitution. They're going to label you a domestic terrorist and just take you down, Sam.
And that's why I joked and said you're guilty of incitement here, because the next article, Peter Van Buren writes, and this is the headline, incitement is the new terrorism. It doesn't matter what you say if they don't like it. It's dubbed incitement. Thus, incitement equals, you know, it's like on the board when you're a little kid in math, right? And they write up there incitement and then equals and then terrorism. And it's like, oh, okay. But see, these are the lies they're spinning, lol.
Yeah, and this is a new thought for me. I had no idea that January 6th would become this new 9/11, but that's the essence of what Peter Van Buren is saying. It's the springboard upon which the new terrorism has been launched, right? I mean, they're going to refer to January 6th for the next 5 or 10 years. At least that's what Peter Van Buren supposes. Just like we have referred to 9/11 for the past 20 years, the prime mover of a whole new range of crimes, incitement will become this generation's version of material support to terrorism, meaning the complex legal definition will be massaged in the name of safety so that it will become a not real crime based on the flexibility of a word that will mean whatever the deep state wants it to mean in any particular scenario. Right? So the kid in his bedroom, I love this paragraph, he writes, so the kid in his bedroom chatting online will be talking to a Fed pretending to be a white supremacist instead of pretending to be ISIS. See how that switch happens? You know, like in the past 20 years, people have pretended to be ISIS in order to entrap, you know, American citizens. Well, now they're going to be pretending to be white supremacists to trap these kids. The kid's a reference Simon. Those social media messages supposedly about white supremacy will be played across the news, and they'll post, and just like post 9/11, they'll add fuel to the fire, Sam, calling for more.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I tell you that I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover like Michael Jackson on Black History Month, then am I inciting love and kindness and prosperity for all? I sure hope so.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A
public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just got a question. If you can incite hate and violence, can you incite love and kindness and prosperity and stability and unity and civility? Is that possible, Lil Nelson?
Absolutely possible, Sam. I'm thinking back to what President Russell M. Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints did about, it's been two or three months ago, but he said that all this week, let's do a hashtag kindness. Or something like that. I don't remember the exact details, but I think it spread worldwide. I think they were, the love and the kindness.
It was at Christmas time, and it was called hashtag Give Thanks.
Give Thanks. That was it. Yeah, and didn't that have a big impact? I think on social media, I think that was the biggest trending topic on social media that week, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Those who want to create the incitement of violence and those who want to turn us all into terrorists didn't like that too much, did they?
I think it sort of thwarted their plan for a week. It probably set them back a few months. So, we can make a big difference in inciting violence. We have to talk more about love and kindness and being generous with our time, serving one another. Because then we'll be spreading love. I think it's a great idea. We should incite love by the what we do, what we talk about, and how we behave ourselves, Sam. Great idea.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this incitement is the new terrorism by Peter Van Vieren. Incredible article, by the way. To wrap up that kind of piece and discussion, you know, they're literally now taking your free speech and putting that on the altar. And kind of like a book burning of yesteryear, they're literally trying to light that sucker on fire to say, you don't really have that, because if you do, you know what, you might possibly encourage someone to do something somewhere, somehow that violates the law. You know, there's a book written a long time ago about everybody's a felon and they don't even know it. Every day you commit felonies because there's so many laws. There's a gazillion commandments on the book, so to speak. And the idea was that, you know, every time you're violating laws, you just can't help it by existing in society. And we need to go back to self-governance, self-government, where people obey God's laws, moral law, and based on governing values, decide to say, you know what, I'm going to live according to the Ten Commandments and God's law. And pretty soon, if people are self-governed, you don't need a gazillion commandments and laws. But they're literally putting free speech in they're tossing it onto the fire, if you will. Or another way to say it is they're putting it in the crosshairs. They want to take away your free speech. They just want to make you so paranoid that you'll say something or do something that might be considered incitement, might be considered, and then we go off to the races. It's kind of like how whenever they arrest somebody, they don't just say you're a citizen with God-given inalienable rights and constitutional protections. They say, well, by golly, you, my friend, you're an enemy combatant. And now all bets are off in terms of due process and accountability and a speedy trial and all the protections that the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, affords you by nature, and that the Bill of Rights simply would guarantee in yesteryear, now we're all on the altar of, well, you're an enemy combatant, by golly. You are, we got to have anti-terrorism. You're a terrorist. You're committing incitement. And then they go off the rails to this extreme ideology that puts you in the enemy camp every time. And we've got to call a halt to that, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to be We've got to be truth tellers. We've got to say, you know what, that isn't right. That isn't true at all. Well, there's a column, by the way, that's written by Dr. Joseph Mercola. And I don't think he's inciting violence, but they could say that he is creating incitement on this one for sure, lol.
They certainly could. And see, that's the magic, so to speak, in declaring that domestic terrorism is the new terrorism, right? Incitement is the new terrorism. The magic behind that shift in thought is that whereas before their guns were pointed outward, so to speak, they were pointed at terrorists which were external to the U.S., meaning terrorists in the Middle East, and towards people within the country who might be aiding and abetting those terrorists. Now, if they can make incitement the new terrorism, then they can point their guns inward at more American citizens, because now it's not just the external terrorists, those from the Middle East, who pose a danger and a threat to the regime here. It's the white supremacists among us. It's those who speak out about the violation of their rights. It's about people who believe in the Bible and people who believe in the Constitution. And that includes a lot of Americans. That's like what pointing the guns at 50 to 85 million Americans. Anybody who supported Trump, because Trump supported, he incited violence, he's a terrorist, and so anybody who supports him must be a terrorist as well. And so see how this is, it's devilish, this new paradigm that came just by declaring that incitement is the new terrorism. They can now point their guns inward at millions of Americans, whereas before they could only, point them at maybe dozens of Americans who supposedly were aiding and abetting these external terrorists. So that's the great devil in the details of why they're calling incitement the new terrorism. And that's why they would go after, people that believe in hell, for example, like Joseph Mercola. Because what he's talking about is he's going through in this column here, found at lewrockwell.com, and describing the mask mandates that, how masking came about. He walks us through a little bit of the history. He walks us back through the previous year. I think that I just was amazed at how far down the path we have come. And I'm just thinking about that Chuck Baldwin article again. Just look at what happened in 1 year's time to our liberties and our freedoms and to our mindset here in America just in 2020. And that's what Joseph Mercola, he's helping us see what happened to us. He talks about, lamestream media would have you believe that wearing masks helps to protect you and your family and those around you from COVID-19. They would have you believe that this is based on science, but that is simply not true. If science were followed, then universal mask wearing by healthy people would not be recommended. That's the thing that is so puzzling to me, Sam, is that the authorities want healthy people to wear masks. It's just unheard of. Not in my lifetime would I have thought that would ever be imposed, that thought would fly here in America.
Well, that's why they call them mindless mask mandates, because nobody's thinking. They're just complying because they are afraid. Fear has taken over. When you don't look to God and have faith, you have fear. And when fear takes over and people panic, they don't know where to go. And then they just simply mindlessly, wear these masks, regardless of the reality check, scientifically speaking. They're just propagandized by the media and by government bureaucrats to the point of obnoxious, or to the point of where it's obnoxious. But you know what? We've got to stand against it, Lowell. I've got a contrasting story that I find funny that I want to get to before the end of the hour. Do you got more on Dr. Joseph Mercola's article? Let's finish that. Then I got an interesting tidbit you probably haven't heard.
Cool. I love it. Yeah, 90 more seconds just on retracing the history. In February of 2020, Surgeon General Jerome Adams told us that masks are not effective. In March, Fauci said people should not be walking around with masks because it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. Fauci even pointed out some unintended consequences of mask wearing as people keep fiddling with their masks and they keep touching their face. By June of 2020, mask mandates became the norm, and we were told that everyone had to wear them because there may be asymptomatic super spreaders among us. And that same month, the WHO, the World Health Organization, admitted that asymptomatic transmission was very rare. And by the end of July, Fauci went to the next extreme, pushing people to wear goggles and full face shields in addition to a mask to protect your eyes, too. And toward the end of November, the asymptomatic spread narrative was destroyed by the publication of a Chinese study involving nearly 9.9 million individuals, revealing that not a single case of COVID-19 could be traced to an asymptomatic individual who had tested positive. And so you see this big flip-floppery going on, and it's just ludicrous, Sam. They are not following the science. They are only trying to test, I believe, the compliance of the people. They're trying to see how compliant you and I will be, Sam. And anyway, great article by Mercola.
Reject and the dishonesty, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is fascinating. Headline says, Biden claims that we didn't have a COVID vaccine when he took office. Now, the conservatives are all jumping on Joe and saying, you know what? How dare you? We know that the vaccine came out when Trump was still in office, and so you're an old man and you don't have a clue, Joe. But Biden claims we didn't have a COVID vaccine when he took office. However, I happen to agree with Joe Biden. I know that's shocking. I know it's impossibly rare. But I submit to you that Joe Biden slips and tells the truth for once. Biden claims we didn't have a COVID vaccine when he took office, and we still don't, is the truth. Headline, COVID-19 mRNA shots are legally not vaccines. Dr. Joseph Mercola, from the last time me and Lowell were on the radio, documented, did you know that mRNA COVID-19 vaccines do not meet the medical definition, the legal definition, or the moral definition of a true vaccine? That's right. They don't prevent the spread or stop the infection of the COCO at all, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? They're really experimental gene therapies. So believe it or not, the conservatives are mocking Joe, but in this case, Joe's right. We didn't have a vaccine when he took office, and we still don't. Lol.
That's a great point, Sam. You're exactly right about that. I hadn't thought about it. But, I bought into this notion, you know, making fun of Joe, old Joe, because of basically he lied. But you're exactly right. You know, if you can,
I don't know if it was inadvertent, but he's a truth teller, my friend. He admitted it, maybe unintentionally. Don't know, but he told you the truth for once, and we need to capitalize on that and mock them for their again. You got the left and right paradigm of deception. The truth is in the middle. The truth is, it is not a vaccine. And therefore, he's right when he says we didn't have one when I took office. He's also right if he admits that we don't have one now. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not a vaccine, folks. It is a experimental. Let me say that word like three times. Experimental. You need to be aware. It is an experimental gene therapy is all it is. Let's be very clear. And it's a dangerous one, to say the least. Lowell, final word's yours, brother.
That's for sure. I just wanted to clarify. It was actress Gina Carano who played in the Disney hit movie The Mandalorian. She was fired by Lucasfilm because of her social media posts where she compared Nazi Germany with America today. But she is spot on, Sam. Let's not let hate divide us. Let's let love keep us together, Sam.
Love you, brother. Appreciate you. Godspeed, sir.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. CampaignForLiberty.org, Lowell Nelson, Mondays and Fridays, first hour of the broadcast. Tremendous award-winning talk radio at your fingertips. For Sam, Lowell, and the crew in the studio, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you get involved and help? This nation shall endure. God save the Republic.